This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit usaa.com/bundle to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Saturday, July 16th. Mock draft episode for the Fantasy Footballers. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway with you. Joined, as always, by a collection of deucers.
There's three of them.
Three of them.
Triple deuce.
Thank you, Brooks.
We have a head-to-head-to-head mock draft on today's show.
Yes.
Going to mix it up a little bit. Going to do a full PPR, three wide receiver mock draft over on Sleeper. And if you are watching, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers, you can see the draft board. We'd love to get your feedback. I mean, most of it. Some of it I find rather insulting, but I expect that. I mean, yeah, it's a mock draft. You're supposed to let us have it if you don't like what we're bringing.
I do love the – this is perfect fantasy football. Every time that there's a mock draft, like Andy, you and I just – the last mock draft that we did was a head-to-head.
Yeah.
So there's only two teams. There's like, who do you like? And it's just so fun to go down and read through the comments and have it be like, oh, Andy in a landslide. Next one. Jason is not even close. It's like, this is, you know, this is the great part about fantasy football is we all have our opinions, and that's basically all they are right now. They're educated. They're like hypothesis about what we think is going to happen this season, but we get the answers. Like at the end of the year, you'll be like, oh, it was Jason. Jason did have the best team, and it'll be a fact. But in the meantime, you're welcome to have those other opinions. And that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a subjective space, right? I mean, you have your favorite players, what you believe about them. And then when you're in a head-to-head competitive environment, there's even more juice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little bit more of, are you going to double down on that belief? Are you going to have enough conviction knowing that, you know, the listeners don't share that belief to still take your player? So,
You guys are right next. I didn't even realize you guys are next to each other. That'll be a fun little fisticuff moment every round.
That's what the hat gave us.
The hat.
Yes.
Yeah. We had to pull our draft spots out of a hat. We will jump into a quick question first. A reminder, ultimatedraftkit.com. If you want access to the complete suite of draft day tools, help you dominate on draft day, get an advantage, see our tier-based rankings, which we use and will be using today, all of our player projections, which is detailed stat projections for each and every player, in the fantasy relevant world, and we have our player profile videos and a whole lot more. You can check that out. See all of what's included at ultimatedraftkit.com. The quick question is just about backup running back and late round strategy. Mike, do you use a late draft pick to grab the backup running back to your RB1 as insurance, or do you view that as a wasted pick?
Overall, I would view that as a wasted pick. I mean, you got to start at the top of the discussion, which number one, we are frequently wrong, like in the preseason, about who is the actual backup. There's some situations, you know, like Minnesota. Okay, if Dalvin Cook gets injured, more than likely it's Alexander Mattison.
I think that's a great, that's a perfect one to bring up, because I don't think it's guaranteed with this new coaching staff that it's Alexander Mattison.
Like, exactly. There are still some question marks that maybe it is not Alexander Mattison, but you feel a little bit more confident. But around the league, you just...
Well, Tony Pollard and Zeke, I mean, that's a super clean one.
I'm saying, like, for the most part, like Arizona at this point.
Yeah, is it Eno?
It could be Eno. He's been getting some praise out of the beat reporters, but they brought in Darrell Williams, who is a known commodity in the NFL. So, like, you aren't 100% sure who the backup who will inherit the primary role is. And then on top of that, you are taking that person, that running back, and something has to happen where there are plenty of running backs left in the draft at that point that no one really wants. But come week one, they could absolutely surprise you that they are involved right out the gate. Maybe they're even the starter, like the Houston Texans situation, that I don't think we're going to know until week one. And they take that first snap. Who's the starting running back for the Texans? Is it Marlon Mack off of the ACL? Is it Rex Burkhead, who gave the team some, you know, some effort last year? Or, well, because he had like one good game.
Some effort, yeah. And,
or is it Damian Pierce, the new rookie? Like, I'm taking a shot on someone like that. I'm not stashing someone on my bench for week one where I know an injury has to happen. I have to be like their starter is the one that gets hurt in week one, and then they are for sure actually the insurance running back. There's so many unknowns where I'd rather like find out immediately, do I have a player of value?
We talk all the time about fantasy football, and when we're making these decisions, it's a game of probabilities, right? We can't be 100%, but we want to be, you know, 55, 60% right. Right more than we're wrong. Thank you. Appreciate it. And it's one of those things where if you just do the math of saying, okay, for this guy to be good, an injury has to happen. The injury has to be to that starting running back, and it has to be week one.
Yeah.
So 4% of the time you might be. It's just a bad bet to make. Whereas if you go and you grab, like, examples I was thinking about, Ronald Jones. He could be the starter week one.
He could.
You could draft him late, and all of a sudden he's the guy. Marlon Mack. Maybe he's fine from the Achilles because he's now the first example of like 2 years past, and he's the guy. Like,
could be.
Take a shot at a player who has higher than 4% odds to be relevant week one. If he's not, you cut him, you move on. Because if the star running back, if you grab Chris Evans thinking that's the guy, and you know, and Joe Mixon's healthy week one, are you going to cut him? You drafted him to hold him
right
for that injury, so now you can't even get rid of him unless you admit that what you did was dumb.
Oh, nothing quite like holding him and being wrong about the backup, too. That would be just great, right? Hold Chris Evans for 6-7 weeks and then be wrong. I mean, the player we brought up on the most recent show of Elijah Mitchell, that's a situation where you look at and you say, well, he was injury prone, and the offense always functions with a running back. But who is it?
Yes.
You can't figure out, is it Davis Price or Sermon or, you know, someone off the street may walk in and be more effective. So
that was a situation I wanted to highlight real quick, because I'm confident that Elijah Mitchell is the primary guy for the 49ers.
For week one.
For going into this year. But that doesn't mean I think that Ty Davis Price is a complete wasted pick at the end, because there's a chance that I'm incorrect on my projection, and there's a chance that, like...
But that's like the Houston situation,
right? But
right?
Like, there's a chance that Ty is
the new
Jeff Wilson, where he just frustrates you because he gets in, he has like five opportunities a game, but two of those are goal line opportunities or things like that.
Look, most insurance policies are going to get you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's a reason
when
those
they
companies
ask you
make
at,
money.
When they ask you at the checkout line, you want to add the insurance on this? But you probably don't, okay? And that's, that. You know, the insurance backs, look, don't give the money to the insurance companies.
You want the scratch protection,
dude,
for your disc?
I laugh, yeah, right.
No, I don't.
You're going way back.
Best Buy?
I laugh at when I am offered the insurance for the super inexpensive tech item, like the $10 like laptop mouse that I buy.
But they have to ask you.
Yeah, but they want me to insure this $10 mouse.
Sir, it's only $2.
I'm just like, no, no, the insurance, feel bad for them having to ask and pitch me on that. All right, no news to cover today, so we're going to jump right into the mock.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
Thank you. You're See, welcome. I like it there.
Okay. So the people demanded it.
Something about the, I don't know, the scratchy fade out of the distortion on the guitar combined with a gargly dragon roar.
Mm-hmm. Is that what the official moniker is going to be? No, I like that gargly dragon roar.
Yeah.
And like there was far too many comments that revered it. And
Dragon in the morning.
I don't know how much money
Dragon
he had to send out.
Dragon in the evening.
All right, we did pull our names or pull our draft spots out of a hat. Jason ended up with the number 2 overall pick. Mike at 7. I'm at 8. 12-team full PPR. 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers. So we're going to do a 3 wide receiver mock today. A tight end to flex and 4 bench. And let's kick it off. Jonathan Taylor off the board at the 101.
Here we go.
Jason is sitting there at 102 with a decision to make, a 3 wide receiver draft. What do you think about?
Yeah, I wanted one of the top 2 spots. I like being near the turn, either the front or the back this year. And in a 3 wide receiver, full PPR, there are 2 players I desperately, desperately want. One is Christian McCaffrey, because you got to swing for the fences. Nobody scores more points than him when he's on the field. And there's no reason to believe he's injury prone as far as because of the specific injuries he's had. He catches the ball a lot in a full PPR and is a true difference maker. And the other is Cooper Kupp. If you got to start 3 wide receivers, it's full PPR. The wide receivers are extremely important. And I would be willing, if Christian McCaffrey went 101, I would be taking Cooper Kupp here. But he didn't, so I am taking Christian McCaffrey with the 2nd pick.
Christian McCaffrey off the board. You decided to live that life, which... Look, it's a terrifying life to live.
It's worked out before, just hasn't been a couple of years.
Has it ever worked out for you?
No, though? For me, I bought in heavy on the injury year, the first injury year. I did get out, though, last year. So you know, I was able to...
Yeah, it's my turn.
Right, yes, we have passed the buck around here in our main league. Christian McCaffrey's over to Mike now.
Derrick Henry actually went 103 still. Austin Eckler at 104. Cooper Kupp, first wide receiver off the board at 105. Dalvin Cook goes off the board at 106. He was my target at 108, by the way. I was really hoping. I had already written down some stuff about why I was going to take him.
And, well, why would you have taken him?
He's going to catch a ton of passes. I mean, I just really like this offense and the fact that they're going to throw the ball more. And, you know, even last year, 60-plus targets. I'm kind of in on Dalvin Cook again this year. I think he's fundamentally, skill set wise, a top 5 actual running back at the NFL level. So I was excited, but now we don't get to take him. So, yeah. Mike, you are on the clock here, and you can take anybody away from me you want.
And
I'm going to do it on the way back.
I had told Jason before the mock draft started, I've made a change in my upper tier rankings. Justin Jefferson is now my wide receiver 1. So I was desperately hoping that he had dropped down to the 107.
Which he did.
And he did. So I get my number 1 wide receiver in a 3 wide PPR. I mean, there are running backs who are known pass catchers here, but I think Jefferson is a very safe start to this draft, and the number 1 overall wide receiver is in the range of outcomes for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's an emotional, like, I want to draft Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm not going to do it. I think in a full PPR situation here, I'm actually going to take a swing at DeAndre Swift in the first round.
Ooh.
The target pace last year, what he's bringing to the table healthy this season, I want to see what it's like hitting that running back spot, because it's going to get thin later. It doesn't matter that it's 3 wide receivers. I still need to start 2 running backs. And the running back position is still very scarce later on in the draft.
I think with the quarterback change in Pittsburgh, the way that I look at it, there's only 3 running backs in the league that are true, like, you know, could lead the team in reception type of running backs, which is Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, and DeAndre Swift. A guy that, you know, you're talking about 100 targets is not even a tall task.
Not breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
So after I took DeAndre Swift, Najee went, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, who I have ranked very highly. I know Jason does as well. Joe Mixon finishing the first round.
Yeah, I love Diggs. I think Diggs, if you look at his numbers last year, so much is being made of Gabriel Davis. I know, by yours truly, I do like Gabriel Davis. But, I mean, you've got a lot of targets missing here, and Stephon Diggs should have had even more touchdowns for what he was, you know, where he was throwing the ball last year. Stephon Diggs is, to me, right there with the top of the top.
Coming back into the second round, Devontae Adams, Alvin Kamara, Travis Kelce, and Nick Chubb. So I am back on the clock here. You know, we have them back-to-back in our PPR rankings right now at wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb and Deebo Samuel. I was talking on the most recent episode how Samuel deserves more respect, and I have confidence in them putting the ball in his hands, which is key to a PPR format. I mean, he was number two wide receiver last year, and that's who I will take for the first time in our mock drafts.
Interesting.
Deebo Samuel off the board in the middle of the second round, last year's number two overall fantasy wide receiver.
All right, so that puts me on the board here. I'm looking at two names who are both wide receivers. Again, the running backs here, I think that for the build I'm going to go for here, I think I can wait on the running back position. And the two names I'm looking at, CeeDee Lamb, the new hotness, I mean, well, not the newest hotness because he was kind of a, you know, that last year. But I think in his third year in the league, the opportunity is really there with Amari Cooper gone for him to be the clear number one. And how high can he actually go at the end of season rankings? But I'm into Mike Evans a lot for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like this Chris Godwin injury situation, I am out on Chris Godwin's ADP. I think that he is going to at least start on the PUP. And even if he's back immediately after the new 4-week PUP, is that right, Jay? Is it
four? Yes.
So he could technically come back in week 5 if he's put on the PUP. But how ready is Chris Godwin? And there's going to be a ton of volume. You know Mike Evans is going to pull in 10-plus touchdowns. And I think that we have a chance that Mike Evans is back and locked and loaded as a top 5 guy this week for one last hurrah with Mr. Plantman Tom Brady.
All right, Mike Evans is the pick. So you have Jefferson and Evans. Saquon Barkley went next. Then CeeDee Lamb off the board. Tyreek Hill off the board. Mark Andrews, if he had been sitting there one pick later, Jason, would you have considered Mark Andrews in a 3 wide receiver?
Honestly, it would have been really tough for me. When you've got 3 wide, it's a full PPR, so Mark Andrews at the back of the second, the value is certainly there. But I find that if I'm doing that and then maybe there's another running back that I like, for instance, right now at the running back position, Aaron Jones is sitting here. Leonard Fournette is sitting here. These are pass-catching running backs. I was not expecting to go running back here. I wanted to go Christian McCaffrey and then double-tap the wide receiver position, but I wouldn't.
You're on the turn, though. You got a quick turnaround here. It doesn't make a difference, really.
I do. So I'm certainly going to take either Aaron Jones or Leonard Fournette. Aaron Jones, to me, has such massive upside.
You've been wanting to take him in a mock draft for a while.
I have. Usually in the drafts that I've been doing that are live drafts, he is near the beginning of the second round. So to grab him at the very end, I love. Leonard Fournette went just after me. Leonard Fournette and A.J. Brown by Team 1. So that puts me back on the clock. And the wide receivers that I'm looking at here, you've got PPR Machine and Keenan Allen, part of a great offense. Now, this is my wide receiver 1, so it's a little different. You know, I love Terry McLaurin, but I just don't feel as confident in Terry McLaurin as my wide receiver 1, that kind of steady baseline drumbeat that I want, as I do if I had gone wide receiver, and have him as my 2. So I'm actually looking between two guys here, two or three, Keenan Allen. I love Michael Pittman.
Yeah, baby.
And DJ Moore. I'm at the turn, so I'm not worried too much about the system's ADP. I'm worried about who I want. None of these guys are going to get back to me by the time it comes back around. So,
By the way, so far, for what it's worth, Jason running back to start the draft, Mike wide receiver to start the draft, and I went running back wide receiver. So 3 different approaches to a 3 wide receiver full PPR. It's going to be interesting to see what the depth of our teams ends up looking like.
This is tough. This is really, really tough.
That was me delaying for you, giving you an opportunity.
You delayed enough for me to take the guy that I would genuinely take. You know, sometimes, look, peel back the curtain. Sometimes when we're on the clock here, we want to win the
public opinion.
We want to win the public opinion. And I know that Keenan Allen's going to look
Jason
better.
Jason really likes
to
win the public opinion.
Yeah, the pander bear. I really know that Keenan Allen would play better. But if this was my draft and my rankings, I'm taking Michael Pittman. I truly believe he
You, sir, are a rapscallion.
Yes, sir.
And a scallywag.
Now, I'm going to take it literally when you said you believe Keenan Allen will play better, because I think that's right.
I think he is fantastic, but he's coming up to age 30. I don't think he's got the chance to have 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, because that's just not how he's
been. Full PPR Keenan Allen is just a...
Full PPR Michael Pittman, I think, is going to be right. I don't think their targets and reception totals are going to be so significantly different that the youth and touchdown upside for Pittman isn't there. So, I mean, I get it.
Sure.
That's a tough call.
Yeah, what, 88 receptions last year for Michael Pittman, so it's not like the gap was large. Michael Pittman off the board to Jason, first wide receiver for that roster. James Conner went next. Could catch more passes than people expect.
Yep.
Keenan Allen off the board. Josh Allen off the board. And then Zeke, Mike, you didn't have the opportunity to draft Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if that would have tempted you, because he catches a ton of passes, and I know your confidence in him is very high.
Yeah, he would have been interesting here, but I have a plan. I had a plan coming into this, and it's unveiling that way, so I have not had to rock the boat of the water.
Is your plan three wide receivers?
My plan was to go three wide receiver, and I got a plan for the player that I want to come back to me, so I'm going to play the ADP game, and I'm going to take T. Higgins here, who I am very bullish on. I think we all love T. Higgins. I don't know that I'm to the crowd whispering that, Higgins could outscore Ja'Marr Chase, but I think that at the end of the year, you could easily have two top 15 wide receivers, and maybe Ja'Marr comes down a little bit, Higgins comes up, and they're like wide receiver 10 and 11 or something. I think that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, every year there's a team that has two wide receivers in the top 12, and if there's one team I would pick, it would be the Bengals with those two superstars.
Well, I have a tough decision to make here. Mike went Jefferson, Evans, Higgins with the first three picks in this draft. I have Swift and Debo, and it's such a tough decision. We're going to take a break.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year, or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Now, it's not fair because Andy had so much time. He had these last few minutes to really stop and speculate. So this, I can't wait to see where you landed with all that extra time.
I landed in the same state of confusion.
Okay.
Of difficulty here where there are some running backs that I think are interesting. Javonte Williams, Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those players will make it back around to me. And when you get beyond that tier, I mean, I do like David Montgomery quite a bit. There's been a lot of talk about his involvement in the passing game. They don't have Allen Robinson as a part of that offense anymore. I know N'Keal Harry is just, you know, so tantalizing in the target share, but, you know, David Montgomery is going to be a big part of that offense in the passing game. And then at wide receiver, it's a landscape of confusion here where, you know, you've got Deontay Johnson sitting there who is a PPR monster.
He's so tough.
But it's a little bit tough to project. The future for Deontay Johnson is not going to be on the Pittsburgh Steelers, for one. They're not going to pay him. So this team has a bunch of wide receiver options. They have quarterback question marks. It makes me a little bit nervous as much as I love the talent of Deontay Johnson. Terry McLaurin, I'm not in on Terry McLaurin. I think I'm capping my ceiling by drafting Terry McLaurin. But in a full and then DK Metcalf has a quarterback issue. So when you think about it, DJ Moore is very interesting to me. With Baker maybe raising at least the floor for DJ Moore, guaranteeing that he does what he's done. I'm going to take Jalen Waddle.
That's who I thought you were going to go. I thought this whole speech, I'm thinking he's going to take Jalen Waddle.
You're right. And
that was a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough situation. And I knew, and this is where it gets really unfortunate, is, you know, the two running backs that go off the board, or sorry, the three after me. This is why I don't like drafting at 8. I think I've done this twice now.
I hate where you guys are at. Like the 7-8 spot, if you're in a competitive league where, you know, things are not falling just really lucky into your lap, I have not enjoyed the middle of the rounds this year.
No, it's somewhat brutal. And so you end up with Javonte going off the board and David Montgomery and Cam Akers. And David Montgomery and Cam Akers went right before my pick here, and it's brutal. Now, a couple quarterbacks went off the board. Mahomes and Herbert are off. I would have considered a Darren Waller in the fourth round here. He's gone. Kyle Pitts is gone. I'm not going to the George Kittle well here in the fourth round, already having Debo Samuel on this team. That's enough accidental trust placed in Trey Lance. So I'm staring down a decision at running back, you know, taking a shot on a Josh Jacobs, a Breece Hall, Elijah Mitchell, who, you know, again, he may not be that involved in the passing game. And then on the wide receiver side, same problem. So I'm going to go DJ Moore. I feel very fortunate that I got to come back with DJ Moore after thinking about him at 308. I get him at 405. DeAndre Swift, Debo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore. Mike, you have your three wide receivers so far, Jefferson, Evans, and Higgins. What is your plan now? Are you considering?
Can't stop, won't stop, fellas.
He's going to another wide receiver.
We're going to fill that flex spot with a wide receiver here. I thought I knew who you were going to take. And that now that you have not, you've made my decision a little bit more difficult.
Who did you think I was going to draft?
I thought you were going to take Mike Williams.
Okay. Yeah. Is that because I've taken him in every single mock draft we've been in?
Because we all love him so much more than his ADP, and you're at this. I don't think Mike Williams will make it back to
you. He probably won't, but in a standard or a half, I like him a little bit more than in a full PPR where Debo, Jalen Waddle, and DJ Moore. Those could all be 100 reception wide receivers.
Sure.
So I didn't really give him more thought than DJ Moore there.
So the two guys that I am looking between, it's Mike Williams and Cortland Sutton. I have them ranked back to back. Jason's face tells me that he wants one of those players.
No. So my face is just Breece Hall. I know you guys aren't happy on Breece Hall as I am, but I'm just really hope there's five picks before me, and I just really want Breece Hall to go because I don't want to stare down his name and pass him where I'm at. I don't think I have the strength.
And so I got Jefferson, Evans, Higgins. Feel very confident in those three. I'm gonna go with the rankings and give the edge to Mike Williams because as much as my confidence is that Cortland Sutton's the guy, or should be the 1A at least for Oh, yes. The 1A for the Denver Broncos. There's a chance I'm wrong. It could be Jerry Jeudy. And I think that Mike Williams, while he will be volatile, in my flex, that's the place for him to be. Just juicing my scores on a just juicing them up every
juice
once.
Juice the scores.
Every few weeks or so.
Now let's
yeah, baby.
I want to take a minute. Now before we get to Jason, this is actually about Mike.
Oh, okay.
Because Mike just now passed on his champion.
Yes.
To be his first running back that he could have taken in the fourth round, instead going for a fourth wide receiver, Mike Williams.
Yes.
He passed on Antonio Gibson.
Oh, so sad.
Any final words this offseason for Antonio Gibson?
Ron Rivera, I don't like the things that you're saying. And I think you're wrong. I think you are wrong to put Mr. Robinson into the fold. I think it should be Antonio Gibson featured and then J.D. McKissic just spelling every once in a while.
I feel like what that was is you're on the beach shore and you just pushed the boat out. You haven't lit that that arrow yet, but you've...
So here's the thing.
It's floating?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not out on Antonio Gibson, but... No, I'm not. But here's the... For my rankings, in a three-wide receiver full PPR, I have now drafted four top 15 wide receivers, and Antonio Gibson is like my RB20.
Right.
So I'm sticking with that plan of now I can start loading up at the running back position. And they, on paper, they will not be nearly as strong, but that four pack, I believe.
That four pack is amazing.
Is going to carry me on.
Well, it's
going
to have to, because you're going to be drafting running backs that you don't like as much.
Yep.
But I think that it might.
We'll figure it out.
It might work out.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
No,
I was just going to say, I mean, thrilled that Breece Hall went right before me. I'm a big fan of Breece Hall. He went with Gibson. So the running back position is not one I want to focus on here, since I have McCaffrey. I've got Aaron Jones. And then after Mike picked, Metcalf and McLaurin, two wide receivers I would have been fine with as my wide receiver two, also came off the board. So now I'm staring down two wide receivers I really, really like. Cortland Sutton and Marquise Hollywood Brown. Those two wide receivers, if they're not your one, they aren't necessarily projecting to be, 100 reception PPR machines, but I think they both have great quarterbacks. They could both be the one for their team. And I think I've got a good chance to get both of these guys. So I'm going to play the system ADP game to try to get both, and I will take Cortland Sutton first.
I like it.
All right, Cortland Sutton. J.K. Dobbins, George Kittle.
You
no thought to
one.
Kittle. You said you loved Kittle. No thought to Kittle there.
I really like Kittle's upside, but again, when it's a three wide receiver, and that just pushes tight ends down in their importance to me, because if it's either a double flex or a three wide receiver, I want to fill out my running backs and wide receivers more. If I was to look at running back here, I think when you're getting in the fifth round, Travis Etienne, Elijah Mitchell, those are two great options. In a full PPR, I'd go Travis Etienne, as Elijah Mitchell isn't the pass-catching specialist, but I'm going to stick with my plan. I'll have Michael Pittman, Cortland Sutton, and Marquise Hollywood Brown at wide receiver for my three wide receiver to go with the pass-catching running backs Christian McCaffrey and Aaron Jones.
Allen Robinson, Lamar Jackson, Travis Etienne, and Elijah Mitchell. So those are two names that I thought, at least the way I was looking at it, and it seemed like the way Jason was talking about it, were probably the next tier of running back, and they both went. Both were going to be in consideration for me at 508, and Mike's on the clock at 507 with no running backs. I don't know what your plan was. I don't know if it was to continue down this road, but Josh Jacobs is sitting there. Miles Sanders, who you like. Where are you looking for this fifth selection?
So it's actually...
And would you have taken Mitchell and Etienne?
I would have considered Etienne more than Mitchell because of the PPR.
Right.
I'm in the decision. I get it. Right now, everyone's screaming, take a running back. And that's where I lean to go. But it is very difficult with Brandon Cooks sitting right there. Yes, he would absolutely be on my bench for week one. But I have Brandon Cooks ranked, extremely high. I have him at wide receiver 13 right now. So being just so stocked and loaded is interesting. And meanwhile, so at the running back position, I have some players I want as my running back two, and I think I have to play the ADP. And this is not like This is a tough pick here because so many things have to go right. But vacated targets, I believe in our study that the running back gets a decent bump. The man had a gallbladder issue, and I'm going to, for this moment in time, I'm going to believe that that was a huge reason for him not being a big part of the game plan for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I will take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who, even if Ronald Jones comes in and makes us a timeshare, Ronald Jones is not the pass-catching running back. So hopefully Clyde gets those targets up.
How confident are you in all of those words?
Not.
All right, that's great. I want Josh Jacobs, so I'm going to take him next. You took Clyde, I took Josh Jacobs. Godwin, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Michael Thomas off the board to finish the round, so a run of wide receivers. And then coming back in the second round, Damian Harris, who has not been talked about a lot this offseason and is probably talked about even less in a PPR, but will provide volume, some volume. Ken Walker and A.J. Dillon, and then Joe Burrow off the board. So I am back on the clock with, I thought about Brandon Cooks with my last pick, and he is still on the board.
Brandon Cooks is always a screaming value. Nobody wants to take him, and everyone's happy when they do.
I did.
I mean, Brandon Cooks is ranked 16 for us right now, or 15 in a PPR format. So I am delighted to go Jacobs and
That's
Brandon Cooks. So Cooks off the board, Mike. You are back on the clock. Jefferson, Evans, Higgins, Mike Williams, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And a long wait for you after this pick. So
There is a part of me that is grateful, because if Brandon Cooks had made it back to me, I don't know how I would have turned down that particular value. But the running back, too, I was hoping dropped to me. He did drop to me, and I will be taking Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
As my running back, too. In a PPR, I am perfectly fine with that.
Just to be clear, Clyde is your running back, too.
Okay, maybe.
No. Hey, look.
Well,
just to be clear, they're both your running back, too.
I won't necessarily argue that could be it by week two. A mental transition will happen.
It won't matter, because Jefferson, Evans, and Higgins will each have two touchdowns on that week, and then Mike Williams will have two more in your flex.
Yeah, that's the point of this build.
Hawkinson, Thielen, Hopkins, and then Jalen Hurts off the board. So
that one hurts.
Yeah. Jason, you're living your quick turn life here. Six-round pick, McCaffrey, Aaron Jones, Michael Pittman, Cortland Sutton, Hollywood Brown. What's the thought here? You got two picks out of the next four.
Yeah, so I will look and see. Okay, so at wide receiver, I really like two guys there. Darnell Mooney projects to get a ton of targets in a PPR, and I like Juju Smith-Schuster this year. I think that he's going to be the wide receiver one personally for the Kansas City Chiefs. So with both of those guys on the board, and you know, I'm two picks away, I think I'm going to play the gamble game there and go away from the wide receiver position with this first pick. I wanted Jalen Hurts. That was my target. If he fell to the very back of the sixth round, I will take him 100% of the time. I've got another quarterback that's right there with him, though, and he stacks with Hollywood Brown. So I'm going to draft Kyler here to complete that little stack. And thankfully, the next two
picks. Now, is that little stack because they're short?
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
No, it was a.
That's not very nice.
No, I was making fun of their height, because
which he can do because he's 5'9".
No, I am not. How dare you call me
5'9½"?
5'11". In both directions, height and width. So,
I wasn't sure. Okay.
All right. So now here I am,
Not forcing the Arizona stack, but it just dropping to you is...
Yeah, that's fun.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to, but it fell into my lap, so that's good. There's two players here that I really like. At the turn here, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devonta Smith went. So I like Juju Smith-Schuster. I like Darnell Mooney. And at running back, Chase Edmonds is there, who I think in a PPR for a good offense is a good pick. I'm going to take the player at this point in the seventh round that I think that has the highest upside, which I don't know who you guys think that would be, but to me, it's Juju Smith-Schuster, a guy who is, we've already seen him put up 1,600 yards and be great. has had a lull in his career, but is now back with Patrick Mahomes. Opportunity is there, and I think he's still very, very good.
Back with Patrick Mahomes? Is, for the first time, you mean?
Is back with a good quarterback named Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Treylon Burks, Miles Sanders off the board, Mike, if you had hoped to grab another wide running back. Dalton Schultz, someone I was keeping my eyes on, hoping maybe I think he'll be a valuable PPR tight end this season, so that was going to be interesting in a full. Drake London off the board, Mike, you are on the clock.
Dalton Schultz was going to be in contention for my pick here. The three of us, none of us have a tight end, but, I mean, the high-value guys are gone. Schultz was the last remaining one that I'm okay taking here in the middle rounds and not just doing a full tight end punt and waiting till the end, but he is gone. Jason was casually mentioning the player that I was hoping dropped to me, and it was Chase Edmonds, so now I feel pretty good here with being able to start with those four powerhouse wide receivers and getting three guys that are very strong pass catchers for the PPR format. So the plan came together here in the seventh round with a nice little bow. I'm not sure where I'm going to go after this, but I like where I've started.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt, and Chase Edmonds. You should be able to play two of them every week and have enough points that
have
if your
floor,
if yep. your stardom at wide receiver comes through in a full PPR three wide receiver flex league, the build has not worked as poorly as I had hoped for you.
Oh, thank you. <You're welcome. laughs> I think
I have a tough decision to make here because I am not enjoying drafting from the eighth spot. There are a handful of players that I think are very interesting, and I hate – this is the hard part of doing the mock draft live on the show, is there's one name that I really love, and if I talk about him, I'm going to be illuminating that for you guys.
You get two picks before I go, though.
I know, but he will be neither of them.
Well, who is he, then?
Oh.
It's Robert Woods.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
I think Robert yeah. Woods in a full PPR Robert. Is exceptionally interesting. He is far down the ADP – you know, you're playing the system ADP game. He is significantly lower. So I'm here's my three picks for two spots.
Okay.
Okay, and you guys help talk me through this. Cordero Patterson, who is essentially
sure
a wide receiver as a running back, not to mention, like, if you read what's going on around Atlanta, they're giving him all these off-season programs off. He's not necessarily going to be the bell cow, but he's going to be a big part of the offense, bringing him back.
Sure.
And they're trying to keep him fresh. So I am definitely interested in Cordero in the first half of the season again. And then looking at the quarterback position, I'm really into Russ and Dak. I think both are great options. I know I could get one of those two guys with my next pick.
Should be able to, yes.
And so really the way that I'm looking at it is it's Cordero. It's probably going to be Cordero, I think, because I'm not going to take Robert Woods quite yet.
I'm glad we could help.
I would be waiting. Yeah, what are you guys thinking about my team?
No, we did it. We helped you out.
I think you're going to go so Cordero difficult. Patterson, if I'm being honest. That's just the way that I, you know.
If Patterson is so difficult because, like, he, you know, probability and trend-wise, what he accomplished last year is a complete outlier in the history of football and fantasy football, to be his age, to have just changed, like, the real official position change and have it work out with such success was huge. Can that – he's a year older. He's got that wear and tear now. Can that happen a second time in a row? And he doesn't have Matt Ryan. He has Marcus Mariota, who's a bit more mobile.
It doesn't have to happen again. It doesn't have to, though.
Okay.
It's the late seventh round. And so when you get beyond
right.
– the bigger thing for me is the tier breakdown, where you get beyond Cordero and you're in backup country. You're in Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary, James Cook. Now, Rashad Penny's sitting there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that would be, you know, Penny is a consideration. But, again, Melvin Gordon, Michael Carter, Ramondre, Isaiah Spiller, these are all backups.
Yeah.
He's the last starter.
I love Rashad Penny in general, but he's not a pass catcher. And there's really not going to be a pass-catching running back in the Seattle offense, whereas Cordero, I don't like the age at all. And I think I drafted Cordero for the first time ever yesterday in one of my leagues, but for the most part I just don't have any shares because of his age. But in a full PPR league, it's hard for me to look at Rashad Penny the same as I do in other leagues.
Well, I will go with Cordarrelle Patterson, just barely getting the advantage. Darnell Mooney goes next. Russ off the board. And then Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman, who were interesting at wide receiver. But I felt very fortunate to get a fourth wide receiver in Brandon Cooks in the sixth round. So I went back to running back with Patterson. Hunter, which, by the way, Patterson is only a running back in sleeper. Renfro, Pollard, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox. And then I went with Dak Prescott, the last of the two, those two quarterbacks that I was eyeballing. Russell Wilson, getting Dak in the eighth round versus paying Kyler Price in the sixth round. Because I looked at him, too. I thought about him in the sixth round, but I feel better now.
Your strategy paid off well. You looked at the four teams that were past you. Three of them had a quarterback. You had two quarterbacks you like. It's those little tiny things that we all know to do it. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we don't look, especially when you're at the seventh or the eighth spot, you feel like, well, there's so many teams that it's not worth looking. Always look, and you did, and you played that right. You had two quarterbacks you like. One fell back to you.
Mike on the clock. He has gone four wideouts and then three running backs: Jefferson, Evans, Higgins, Williams, and then
tight ends the rest of the way.
Edwards-Helaire. No, all quarterbacks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt, and Chase Edmonds. I'm going to mention it now because I just, you know, when are you taking Trey Lance? Like, when is the when is that going to happen?
I believe that is a drafting faux pas to bring up the name of the player that I will be drafting eventually. And I don't know. I mean, we'll sooner than later, of course. Like, it's going to happen.
It's going to have to be now or next.
I think so. Yeah, if you don't take him now, you might not get him.
I thought Gabriel Davis would drop to me here.
Yeah,
and we're in the eighth.
That would have been a great swing.
This is upside time, and I'm that one stings there from Team 10
in best ball. Gabriel Davis is, like, I love Gabriel Davis.
Yeah.
He is out. He's in the fourth. I mean, he is just being drafted so high. So when August rolls around and you're in your home leagues, I think Gabe Davis is going to be an absolute steal in these, you know, seventh, eighth rounds.
And his teammate Dawson Knox right after him. Mike, where are you going with this pick, eighth round?
So at the running back position, Rashad Penny is still there. And the last, as we see it and I see it, he is the last starting running back on the board. I mean,
it's hard for your team not to take him, considering that
it is,
you know, Clyde, Hunt, and Edmonds, all three of those players may get no very minimal first and second down work. So it's interesting because Penny is the inverse of that.
Absolutely.
But also could be stability and upside.
In the range of outcomes. But like this team here, for week one, I'm set. Like, I would be starting Clyde and Kareem Hunt here, or maybe Chase. Somehow he with everything that happens, he sneaks in. He's my starter. I mean, this team will be, you know, grinding away at the waiver wire specifically for the running back position, which is nice that I don't have to really worry about the wide receivers. But so Penny would be the one I would take here, but I'm looking for upside just overall. And is Penny's truly there, even though he's a value in the eighth round? But I'm going to look at upside at the wide receiver position, and I'm going to take one of the rookies. I'm going to take Chris Olave from the New Orleans Saints. We still don't know on Michael Thomas. We've got a recent report from one of the beat reporters out of New Orleans, and that they're hearing good things about Thomas, but it's Thomas and Jarvis Landry. And
in possession receiverville.
Yeah, so I'm going with Chris Olave.
Yeah, he does have upside. And those rookies, eighth round, I mean, another one went off the board right after you. Garrett Wilson, Devin Singletary, Goddard, and Tyler Lockett, who I still think is undervalued because he's Tyler Lockett. He's a very good wide receiver.
He's so good. Yeah, he is very good. Here at the end of the eighth, I know I talked about the PPR versus non-PPR, but you guys have brought it up. Rashad Penny is really the end of a tier, starting running back. I only have two. So since it was between him and Singletary, who I also think is a value this late in drafts.
Could be, yeah.
I wanted one of those two. Rashad Penny was the last one left. Unfortunately, Andy, Robert Woods went, and it wasn't me. Tom Brady, Robert
team
Woods.
One.
Team one just
disappointing.
Said, sticking it to Andy. So I am back.
You would have taken him here. I know that.
I would not have, because there is a player, now that I already have four wide receivers. So when I look at wide receivers, I'm going for upside. Robert Woods, you're hoping becomes that kind of possession guy, that go-to target, but he's not He's not someone that has some chance to really break fantasy or do anything special. And I've talked a lot about this guy with Kyle in the studio, but I'm gonna take my shot at Patrick Mahomes as one. I did that with Juju, and I'm gonna take my shot at the number one for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, and which one is that?
And I'm taking the shot on Christian Watson.
Okay.
Christian Watson, not a lot of production as a four-year wide receiver. Those are red flags. However, he was at a program that ran the ball. They won championships. He did everything they asked him to do. He is a true freak of nature. He's sub 4'4", over 200 pounds, 6'4". And, you know, I think that he is their most talented athletic receiver coming in, and he dominated at the Senior Bowl, which is a good sign. We've seen that good things for Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel. So I'm trying to catch lightning in a bottle there with Christian Watson.
I thought he was going to say he went with the number one for Patrick Mahomes with Juju, and now I'm going to go with the number one for Patrick Mahomes, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. you got James Cook off the board next. I'm a little bummed out here. Zach Ertz was my tight end target in a PPR format.
I'm not sure you would have made it past me.
I know. And then Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford off the board, setting the table for Trey Lance. Mike, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm taking Trey Lance. I know that the rest of y'all have a quarterback here going into the turn.
Don't care.
But teams get crazy sometimes. Some people are vengeful.
Now, I don't know if the computer listens to the show, but we did tell everybody to take Trey Lance anyways.
Yeah. So
well, you have two picks, and you were the one that said that.
Yeah, so I am not dancing with that devil. I wanted Trey Lance. I got him. I'm happy.
I've got a few tough decisions here. I don't know if I will get both of them. I have two wide receiver targets, and then I would plan to kind of punt my tight end to the very end of this draft. Both of those targets I can talk about because neither of you guys pick. But they're Russell Gage and Alan Lazard as upside wide receiver targets here in this round.
Imagine getting Aaron Rodgers' number one target this late in the draft.
Right. I think maybe for the comedic effect, I'll start with Lazard there.
Okay.
And then see if I get Russell Gage on the way back. I don't think I will. Ooh. Melvin Gordon was a little tempting there as well because he has some upside, and it's interesting. Like if Javonte did get hurt, like he's a committee back, Gordon. He's not a full pure backup. And then, when you get a committee back in a system where we like Russell Wilson and what they're going to do on offense, and then Javonte gets banged up, or we're wrong about the split, there was some upside there. But I didn't win the gamble. Russell Gage ended up going in the top of the 10th. James Robinson, Christian Kirk, Ramondre Stevenson. It's back to me. At the running back position, it's kind of gross. And then at wide receiver, there are some interesting names, somebody like Gallup that you could wait on. MVS, let's do it. Let's take MVS.
You're taking both my guys?
I'm going to take
Let's go.
I'm going to take both players because they are the actual different choices as Jason. Jason went with Watson and with Juju. I'm going to go Lazard and MVS because at this point in the draft, I'm going to flip that coin. Yes. I'm going to see what happens.
I like it.
I think it's the strategy that you should take. I would be just as happy to take Lazard and MVS. We don't have a crystal ball as to who's going to come out of these nebulous wide receiver cores, but we know it's a great quarterback. We know there's going to be value there. So call your shot, grab one of them, whoever you like the best or whoever is left, and I think you should leave your draft with one of those, four guys, and then it'll be Sky Moore.
right. Mike, you're on the clock. Trey Lance is on your team. You lucky man.
Yep.
What are you doing now?
I mean, we're still searching for upside, so I'm going to take a sophomore wide receiver who, in his rookie year, had a game of 10 for 189 against the Dallas Cowboys. They have cleaned house. We've recently talked about that. But the New York Giants, like, whatever happened last year, they will be better this year. They could pass a ton more with Dable as the head coach here. So I'm going to take Kadarius Toney. I'm going to take youth. I get all the arguments. Galladay could return to form and be the guy and earn that contract. But Toney has that Tyreek Hill quick twitch ability, and he could emerge as the number one for this team.
All right, Jason, you're back on the clock here in the 10th round.
The first pick is easy for me. There was a player that I was targeting almost from the last pick. I did not go with Darnell Mooney, when I was close to taking him earlier, and I don't want two Bears, but I want those two shots at massive volume. So I am going to
This is a Cole Kmet pick.
This is a Cole Kmet pick. I think Cole Kmet is going to be a very high volume tight end. He doesn't project to have a ton of touchdowns, but in a PPR league, you know, he's, to me, it's like, Cole Kmet, how different is he than Zach Ertz? Obviously a better quarterback situation, but he's kind of
That's a good comp.
Just going to be a volume guy, and you can get him really late. Back of the 10th round.
And he's actually young and getting better.
Yeah, I mean, he will not score. That is clear. But he might catch the ball in the middle of the field. So did you guys see the comments from Freiermuth on his goals, by the way, who went right before Kmet?
I did not.
He said his goal is 800, 900 yards this year. And he called his own average yards per catch atrocious at 8.3. So, which, Big Ben.
Yeah.
So, it could be a little bit more interesting for Freiermuth. And if they do indeed do what I said earlier about Deontay, kind of build this offense a little bit, spread the targets out a little bit more because your dependency on Deontay has to go away after this year, if they don't re-sign him, which it doesn't seem like they will, then Freiermuth could have more upside than we think.
Yeah. So, I've got two picks left, two positional players. There are a couple of wide receivers. Two wide receivers I think could both make it back to me at the very end of this draft. That would be the 12-11. So, I'm going to bypass wide receiver here. I only have three running backs. Granted, they're Christian McCaffrey and Aaron Jones at the top, so I'm fine with
both
that.
Both super injury-prone running backs.
That is potentially true. Our quick question of the day was, do you take a complete, you know, insurance back? I don't. This guy is... maybe seen that way, but I think that's a mistake. I'm actually going to take Isaiah Spiller, rookie running back for the Chargers. Great offense. If you look at how they've used Austin Ekeler over the last couple of years,
there's always someone else.
There's other people. The other people just suck. Well, maybe Isaiah Spiller doesn't. He's the big-bodied guy, so maybe he's used around the goal line. I think there's a chance that he gets fantasy points with Austin Ekeler actually active. And then, obviously, there is the upside in the offense should something happen there.
Mike, you're back on the clock. Now, you took Trey Lance in the ninth. Would you have considered Kirk Cousins in the 11th as a, you know, almost the inverse of what we talked about, where you end up with Trey Lance, but you don't know what that story is going to be? I know we like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would have been okay with it. You know, nice to kind of get the complete the stack with Justin Jefferson. So I would have been okay with it, but I just... well, it could happen. If the passing volume goes up, Kirk Cousins can be, you know, like we've talked about on the show, a top six or whatever, top eight guy. Trey Lance, top five is, to me, something that could happen. Trey Lance, I think, can shock the world in both directions. He could be an absolute bust, but he could be phenomenal for fantasy football. So here at the end...
You do have to have a tight end.
Yeah, I do have. Yeah, looking at the tight end position, so I want to take a look at the grid. We have Andy. You need a tight end.
Yep.
No one else needs one.
Yep.
Here and.
But you're one pick ahead of Andy.
I am. Well, the hard part is, like, for me, the pick is probably Irv Smith at the tight end position. But
you know, Andy won't take him.
I know you won't take him. And do I really want to be rolling out Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith every single week?
Right.
And I don't know if I really want to do that or not. But for the sake of time, I will be doing that.
All right.
An interesting name, especially in PPR to me, is Evan Engram, who signed the $10 million one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which Evan Engram, you mean it's... he is a very easy player to make jokes and say what a waste of career. But in terms of rebuilding your image, he is in a perfect spot with a possibly emerging elite quarterback, possible, with Trevor Lawrence, and Doug Peterson, whose system has always, always heavily featured a pass-catching PPR tight end.
Yeah, no, I love
so
Evan
he was
Engram
consideration
as
for
a
me.
As a deep sleeper this year. I think that there's certainly a world where that could come true. I did not realize you said the contract. I didn't realize he got a fully guaranteed $9 million contract incentives up to 10. That's a good chunk of money to pay the man.
And you can't consider money on that team.
That is
did
true.
You see the money Christian Kirk paid?
That's very fair.
You got to get paid the what is that the
It's the Jacksonville
an
tax.
An extra stipend, yes.
The Jacks tax.
You took my wide receiver, you jerk.
Did I? Yes. Yeah. I went with DeVante Parker in the 11th round, my final position, or non-tight end. He's going to be the primary target, I think, for Mac Jones in an up-and-coming offense.
Could be.
And then coming back around to the last round, I'm going to blow your minds on my tight end pick, as much as one can in the final round of a draft. But I think I will go with a player who has a new home.
Oh, yeah.
The number six tight end the past two times in a row before changing homes, and is now going to be featured in a PPR extravaganza because they don't have any other options. I'm going to take Austin Hooper in Tennessee.
Interesting.
He had 75 receptions, 70-plus receptions 2 years in a row with Matt Ryan. Goes to Cleveland, isn't used that way. They don't have options in Tennessee. He has a great rapport with Ryan Tannehill, Robert Woods. I think Austin Hooper ends up being the second leading receiver in terms of total receptions. So in a full PPR format with the last pick of my draft and every other tight end off the board, I think Austin Hooper will be a stabilizing 4 or 5 catches a week.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he could get back there. It was not a good fit for him in Cleveland in that scheme. Yeah, I mean, with Burks not reportedly being what they had hoped.
Yeah,
I think
Cooper will have a more interesting season than people believe. Not like touchdown totals, but...
No, this is in a PPR league for the last round. I don't mind that at all. I've had a hard time grabbing Hooper in best ball because I feel like for the tight ends to break the lineup, you need those touchdowns. I don't project that. But I do think Hooper is very involved. They don't have a choice.
No. And all the reports are that his reports are the opposite of Treylon Burks.
Right.
So there you go. Final picks for Mike and Jason.
So I'm looking, you know, at the running back position, I could go with Mac. I could take J.D. McKissic, smooches. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought about him too.
Oh,
won't do it because there was. Ha! You scared nobody.
Did you actually move the volume up ever?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Just feels that way.
Like McKissic feels like a safer PPR potential, but if it truly is a 3 running back timeshare and Carson Wentz at the helm, not as interesting for me. So I'm looking at the wide receiver. Let's go full upside here. Like DJ Chark, interesting. Ish for the Lions, who are going to have to throw a ton. I don't believe that Jameson Williams will be ready to go. And Chark will go. He'll be the perimeter wide receiver, or one of them. But we're starting to get some decent buzz here. So I'm just going to – I'm going all upside youth here.
Love it.
I'm going to take Jalen Tolbert, who
such a better pick than going Chark.
Right now, they're saying Tolbert's going to be a starter, which –
Two, three wide receiver sets. What does it mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? And I didn't really need them to tell me because Gallup is not going to be ready. And you have CeeDee Lamb. Who else? I mean, James Washington. Like, Tolbert's going to play right away. And we'll see. Let's bet on some youth and some upside here.
Final pick, Jason.
I was targeting earlier DeVante Parker, who went, Jahan Dotson, who went. Then I was like, okay, I will target Kenny Golladay and Jalen Tolbert, and they went. So here I am at the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to take a guy who I think in a PPR league on a great offense has an opportunity to be Cole Beasley.
And wait, don't take him.
Okay.
I want to see if I can sell you on 2 other players just to end the draft.
All right.
David Bell. Did you consider David Bell?
Love David Bell. I think he's talented. I think that he could have a big quarterback upgrade. He is certainly in consideration.
And then Mark Ingram was the other name I wanted to bring up simply because of PPR plus the Kamara situation.
Yeah, I don't want the old men at the end of my draft. Right. I would like youth. So I'll take old man Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, I don't want the old man. I was like, is he pivoting to Isaiah McKenzie then? I didn't know where he was going
to
go.
Well, I wanted to bring up Isaiah McKenzie because I love Isaiah McKenzie. I was touting him last year. Yes, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. I was touting him last year when Cole Beasley was gone.
Which is where Jameson Crowder is for people that don't know.
Yes, and people brought up the contract situation that, they're paying McKenzie more. McKenzie is, unfortunately, a special teams player. And I believe that that's how the Bills are using him. I think that it will be Jameson Crowder in the Cole Beasley role for a PPR.
Right now they've been splitting.
Yeah, I mean, this is just how I'm projecting it this season.
All right, Jason, run back your team for us.
My team, I have Kyler Murray at the top, Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Jones at running back. My wide receivers are Michael Pittman, Cortland Sutton, Marquise Hollywood Brown with Juju in the flex, Cole Kmet, and a bench of Rashad Penny, Christian Watson, Isaiah Spiller, and Jameson Crowder.
Mike?
Got Trey Lance, of course, as my quarterback. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt are my RB1 and 2. But Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans, T. Higgins, and Mike Williams.
There's a butt in your...
Well, I mean, if when you're focused on wide receiver...
Yeah, no, that's okay.
We got Big Irv Smith, hopefully holding down my tight end position. Then the bench, Chase Edmonds, Chris Olave, and Jalen Tolbert, the rookies, and Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I like the Toney and Tolbert pick to end your draft for sure. Dax, my quarterback. My running backs, DeAndre Swift and Josh Jacobs. Wideouts, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore, and then Brandon Cooks in the flex. With depth of Cordero Patterson, Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, Devontae Parker, my tight end is Austin Hooper.
The one guy I thought, Jay, maybe you'd consider him because just the build of your team and you're just going complete upside here for your last pick. Thought maybe you'd think about David Njoku.
Yeah.
We normally don't draft two tight ends, but when like Cole Kmet seems solid for what he's going to give you, but...
David Njoku
could be the number two target.
Absolutely.
For the
and he would have been my pick here if I had waited to the last round to grab tight end. I'm not going to double up the tight end. I just don't. Okay. I don't want to play those dirty, dirty games.
What makes it difficult is you know Watson is 4 to 6 games, if not more. So I think when Njoku may actually spread his wings, you will have dropped him. I think that's a highly
possible,
potential
yeah.
situation. But shout out to Sleeper for hosting this mock draft. And all of our mock drafts.
And our leagues.
Yeah. And our leagues and things of that nature. Now, before I close us out, just curious whose team Kyle likes.
Mm.
I mean, we have polled him recently, and maybe we'll stop. But, Kyle, do you have any gut reaction to any of these rosters in this highly competitive mock draft?
Who drafted Trey Lance?
Okay. All right. That is going to be the end of today's episode. The loyalty, it's rich. We'll be back with another show on Tuesday. Shout out Brooks, Al, Kyle. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.